The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes, he saw that a large crowd was coming to him. He said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the people reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now, the Gospel today, as you can imagine, is about sharing. I'm going to pick out, in a couple of moments, I'm going to pick out 2 sentences and maybe, hopefully, help you to see something in the Gospel you never saw before. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little story, very simple little story. An elderly couple went into McDonald's. And they went and found a vacant table. And the wife sat down at the table. And the man, the husband, went to the counter and ordered 1 hamburger and 1 portion of French fries and one Coke with a second cup. And he went back with those on the tray, and he sat down, and he put a napkin in front of his wife and a napkin in front of himself. And then he cut the hamburger in half and gave half to his wife and half to himself. And then he spilled out the French fries out of the little packet and began to count them. One for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. What are you laughing at? One for you, one for me. Until he had counted them all. And then he got the second cup and he poured half of the Coke into the second cup. And then he gave that to his wife. And then he began to eat his portion. And his wife sat there with her arms folded. So there was a young man close by, and he came over and said to the couple, "Would you let me buy you another meal?" And the man said, "No, no," he said. "We've been married for over 50 years, and we've always shared everything. 50-50, half and half." And he said, "So thank you very much for the kind thought, but this is what we always do." And he noticed the wife sitting there with her arms folded and her husband eating. And he said to the wife, "Why are you not eating your portion?" And she said, "It's his turn with the teeth." You didn't see that was coming. Right. Good. Now, I'm going to take two things from the gospel this morning, just two sentences. And one of them is Philip. There's a boy here with five loaves and two barley fish. But what good is that among so many? And the other sentence we're going to look at is, Jesus said, when everybody had their fill, take up the fragments that are left, the scraps that are left. Now, I'll have to go back to when I was born all those years ago in Ireland. And I grew up in Ireland after the Second World War. And everything was very scarce. And we had coupons. Now, I don't know if you had those here. We had coupons for gasoline. We had coupons for butter. We had coupons for sugar, for bread, for all the essentials. And so we grew up, just like Philip, with an attitude of not enough to go around. And so it made us very kind of careful of what we had. And we had this attitude of scarcity. And this is how we were. And now a lot of you, I'm sure, can identify with that. If I remember rightly, I think it happened last year. It was funny because we're all inflicted with this. You remember last year when the pandemic began and suddenly the shelves in the supermarkets were getting empty and there was people lining up outside the and coming out with trolley loads of food. And it was all about me, me, me. There's a shortage, got to look after myself. So we had this, you know, this attitude of there's not enough to go around. And we still have that here in this country today. There's not enough health care to go around for everybody to be taken care of. And we have this, you know, awful attitude of, you know, there's not enough. Now, I don't know if any of you ever read a book by Stephen Covey called The 7 Habits of Highly effective people. There are seven habits of highly effected people. And the main character of highly effected people is that to them there's an abundance of things in the world. It's unlimited. Nothing is limited. Everything is in abundance. Totally different from the attitude that most people have. And the attitude that most people have, it leads to insecurity, anxiety, worry. Will I have enough? Will I have enough for old age? And we you know, be honest, that's how most of us are, isn't it? Or am I talking to myself? Hopefully not. That's how most of us are. If you really are honest and truthful. Whereas the highly affected people, effective people, don't see the world like this. There's always an abundance. Now, how does that apply to ourselves? Put that into practice, right? So if you have this attitude of scarcity and there's not enough and so on, and when something goes wrong or you're in deep, you know, whatever you call it, I can't say it from the altar, but anyhow, you know what I mean. You can use your own word, yeah. So that's okay. Now, you shouldn't use bad language in church, right? So anyhow. So anyhow, they get depressed, they get anxious, and they bury their head in the sand. Whereas highly affected people who everything is in abundance. Okay, I'm in deep trouble at the moment. There's chaos all around me. But it's very true, chaos always precedes creativity. Chaos always precedes creativity. And so you begin to think in a different way. Now, when I'm down there, as I often am, and I don't know what to do, I know that there's a way out. So I never lose hope. I know that God is trying to teach me something. And you must have found that in your life when you go through suffering or pain and you get through that with the right attitude. It can be a wonderful moment of transformation. Huh? Now, I have to say to you, when I look back on my life, there have been many, many moments like that. When I was down there, it was a very difficult time in my life. And today, including this morning and every day of my life, I look back on my life and I don't thank God for my successes, because my successes are very few and far between. But guess what? I thank God for my failures, because of my failures, I'm standing here this morning full of joy. And I thank God every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for all the failures in my life, because through those, I was transformed. And I'm sure some of you can identify with that, huh? How you deal with your failures. That's the key. That's the key to a good life, a life of love, a life of joy. That's the key. You gain nothing by going around miserable and complaining and telling everybody. You say, and God always is there. He never lets us down. He never does. And that's very, very true. Now, just to move on to the other point very quickly. Gather up the scraps that remain and let nothing go to waste. What about the scraps in your life? Huh? I can look at you, hand on heart, and say, my life is full of scraps. I have more scraps than I can count. But I thank God every day for those scraps. So what am I talking about when I talk about my scraps? It fits in very nicely with what we've just been talking about. My scraps are my failures, but most of all, my sins. You might say, your sins. What do you mean? Well, it's through our sins that we get to God. Maybe nobody has ever told you that before. It's through our sins that we get to God. I don't know if you read anything ever by Richard Rohr. And he has a lovely sentence that he uses many times. And I find it very comforting for me. And it is a simple sentence. We get to God more by doing it wrong than doing it right. And that's so true. And all you who are out there who are striving to be perfect, forget about it. Because you're never going to be perfect. Never. Being perfect, the definition of being perfect, of perfection, is how we deal with our imperfections and our sins. Good morning, how are you? No, leave him alone. He wants to come and sit and say hello. Yeah. Say, give me a five. Yeah. Oh, God, you're tough. Yeah, you are. Yeah. Yeah, you are tough. Yeah. So it's how we cope with our imperfection is how we cope with our imperfections. Doesn't that kind of turn the whole thing upside down and give us a whole new way of seeing things? And that's what Jesus did. If you go back to the Gospels and sit down and study them, that's all Jesus did. Give us a new way of seeing things, turning the old ways that we have upside down. Oh, I failed. I made a mistake. So what? Are you comfortable? When I make a mistake, I'm comfortable, because that's me. I'm human. And nobody knows that more than God. I'm human. So it's me again, God. I made another mistake today. I made a mess of things. And God still loves me. That's the secret. Amen. Yeah.